Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Tonight with the Dodgers in town, we'll catch up with Bill Plunkett, who is the Dodgers beat writer for the Orange County Register. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Now it's time for the conversation with Bill Plunkett, the Dodgers beat writer for the Orange County Register. Well, Bill, the Dodgers have been pretty hot lately after they got off to a mediocre start. But, you know, coming in here to San Francisco, it seems like they're building some confidence. What do you think about the way the ball club's playing?
Well, it's kind of playing out the way they had it mapped out. And all we heard all winter, even last season, was about how much depth they had assembled, how deep they were. Depth. That's all we ever heard when we talked to Farhan or Andrew Friedman. And it's played out that way because, you see, Gonzalez was not himself for a month. Now he's on the DL. Cody Bellinger comes up and really just busted the clock as far as what they planned with him. Logan Forsythe has been out for a month at second base, the big, you know, pretty much the only big acquisition they made in the offseason. Chris Taylor comes up, and he's hitting really well. You know, they lost Andrew Toles to knee injury, and they haven't really lost a beat. You know, they're using essentially a seven-man rotation in the starting rotation. So it's the depth that they assembled is paying off.
Well, their bullpen is really solid. I mean, they've got a number of bullpen members that are pitching lights out right now, and we all know how important that is, you know, especially when you're competing with a team like the Giants, who, you know, normally depend on pitching, and when you're competing with the likes of the Colorado Rockies lineup.
Yeah, and Dave Roberts has shown that he's not afraid to use the bullpen. Last year he used made a record 606 pitching changes. I haven't done the math, but it sure feels like we're on the same pace this year. They really only want five innings out of a starting pitcher. If they can get that, they figure they can piece the rest together with the different matchups that they have out there.
What happened with Sergio Romo? I know he's not pitching the way that he normally could.
Yeah, I mean, they got him for a very specific role. They wanted him to throw that slider to right-handed hitters, and he's done that inconsistently. He hasn't been as effective as they were hoping, so you know, he's kind of fallen out of the circle of trust, if you want to call it that. But they don't set it up the way a normal bullpen. Don't think of it as a seventh-inning guy, an eighth-inning guy, then the closer. They do things very differently. You'll see, you know, guys in the fifth inning one day, the eighth inning another day, based on matchups, based on what they think, you know, the strengths of a Grant Dayton versus a certain lineup, or Josh Fields or whoever. So it's very much a role-free bullpen.
We'll have more with Bill Plunkett, the Dodgers beat writer for the Orange County Register, right after this. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I guess they should have hired me for that TV commercial. No, I don't think so. But seriously, in San Francisco, it's really true. In fact, AT&T Park has a good neighbor right around the corner. That's right, Sandy Lee State Farm is a Buster Posey home run away from AT&T Park at 188 South Park Street on the corner of 3rd Street. Sandy Lee has been my State Farm agent for 10 years, and I have to tell you, when I've made claims, Sandy Lee gave me peace of mind, which is what we all need when it comes to insurance. Whether it's car, home, or even earthquake insurance, Sandy Lee and her team are down-to-earth, devoted, and understanding. They take control of any situation, and you never feel like you're being sold something. Give Sandy Lee, State Farm, a call at 415-227-9833. That's 415-227-9833 for Sandy Lee, State Farm.
You know, you mentioned depth on the team, and Bellinger really helps because he not only is a first baseman, he plays out in the outfield. So for a young player like that to be accomplished at two different positions, it's got to be pretty unique and so valuable to the manager.
It really is. I mean, you think of his defensive ability at first base, every scout will tell you he's going to win Gold Gloves. A lot of the comparisons that I've heard is JT Snow, a very familiar name up here. So, you know, that's one thing. And then to be able to go out in the outfield. He's only played left field here, but in the minors he played center and right as well, and was very good at all of them. He's a tremendous athlete, great bloodlines. His father played for the Yankees, a utility infielder. Really high baseball IQ, and just another product of a really good player development system following Corey Seager and Julio Urias and Jock Peterson. We've seen this team get younger the last couple of years with guys like that.
Speaking of Urias, he's so young, they don't want to have him throw too many innings. So how do they handle that? I mean, how's that been going as far as trying to limit his innings yet, use him when they can?
Well, he basically got April off. He really did. He stayed behind in extended spring when spring training broke. He stayed there for a couple weeks, threw a couple simulated games and things like that. Then he went out and threw, I think it was, three minor league games. So they essentially backdated his season so that he didn't start his season until a month after everyone else. And if you do the math, that probably puts him in the range of 130 innings in the regular season, with the idea being they want to save 30 or 40 more for a playoff run. So he's pretty much right on schedule.
How do you view that? I mean, you've been around baseball a long time, and, you know, you remember the old school guys who it didn't matter how many innings they were throwing. But we're seeing these guys come up younger and younger on the mound, and you do have to be careful at the same time.
You cannot argue with math. And they have done deep, deep analysis on the effect of high pitch counts and high innings loads early in a player's career, a pitcher's career, and what it means later in their careers. And there's just a heavy preponderance of evidence that shows if a guy's throwing a lot of innings by the time he's 24, he's not throwing very many quality innings when he's 30. So you want to protect that and kind of put a governor on him early in his career. You look at Julio, and he's ready. I mean, he's physically mature for, even as young as he is. He's very smart on the mound. He's not just a thrower. He's a pitcher. So you want to think, well, he's the one exception. Just turn him loose. But you got to think big, long-term, big picture.
More with Bill Plunkett in just a moment. The next time you're on your way to a Giants game, stop by Town's End Restaurant and Bakery for breakfast and lunch Tuesday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 2 p.m., or for brunch on the weekend from 8 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Celebrating their 26th year, family-run and cozy, Town's End Restaurant and Bakery captures the spirit of San Francisco with homemade sourdough English muffins, scones, and breads. They're serving cage-free Petaluma eggs and have been organic since well before organic became mainstream. Consistent quality, 4-star Google reviews, and great service from loyal employees that have been there for over 20 years. Town's End Restaurant and Bakery, a Buster Posey home run away from AT&T Park, right along the Embarcadero at 2 Townsend Street in San Francisco.
What have you noticed about the way young players handle a Giants-Dodgers series? Because, you know, it's only 3 games, let's say. You don't want to let it affect you for weeks, but we do have young players that are in this series. You mentioned Urias, and there's Bellinger, and there's Christian Arroyo on the Giants side. So in your experience, when you see a big series like this, where, you know, you don't want to put too much emphasis on it, but how do the young guys react to it?
I think you learn about young guys in this kind of an atmosphere, and that's what it is. I mean, they don't come here thinking, oh, boy, big series, big series. But when the gates open and the place fills up and it starts getting loud, and the same thing at Dodger Stadium when they play there, it's a different atmosphere. It is not the same as going to play the Milwaukee Brewers in mid-June. It is a different atmosphere. And even a guy like Clayton Kershaw, whether he wants to admit it or not, and he doesn't, he gets a little amped up for the games here as well. His numbers show it. So I think you learn about young players and how they respond. We learned about Corey Seager when he came up here for the first few times and just played smooth as he had been. It didn't ruffle him. Seems like Bellinger is the same type of guy.
Yeah, I would think Kershaw tries to remain stoic, but there are times in the Giants-Dodgers games where he does get emotional. I mean, when he gave up that base hit to Ty Block, I mean, he reacted in a way where, hey, I'm mad at myself more so than normal.
Yeah, you can see it. I talked to A.J. Ellis about this. I used to call Ellis the leading Kershawologist because they were so close and had right. been together so long. He knew him. He could read him. And he admitted it. He said, yeah, when he goes down to the bullpen here at AT&T to warm up for a game against the Giants, there is a different energy and a different electricity to everything he does.
Speaking of Kershaw, last year the Dodgers were able to still move on into the playoffs and have a really good season, even though Kershaw was out for a big bulk of the season. And I know the circumstances are completely different with Madison Bumgarner, the way that he went out because he got hurt in a dirt bike accident. But he's going to be out all the way until, you know, probably August. So how did the Dodgers react to that? How did they have success without Kershaw for a long time?
Well, it was really surprising to all of us. But what happened was, and they like to say, well, everybody picked up a little, and 25 guys picking up a little all adds up to enough. But what really changed was the offense. And whether you can blame that on better focus or realizing that they couldn't rely on the big horse anymore, the offense mid-June when Kershaw went out just took off. Guys that had gotten off to slow starts like Justin Turner and Adrian Gonzalez, they started going. You had other guys step up and fill in the you know bits and pieces. It was mostly offense that made up for Kershaw being out, as odd as that seems. And you know, we in retrospect we like to have a good narrative and a good story. And Justin Turner tells a story that after he heard about Kershaw going down, and they didn't at that time they didn't know if he was coming back at all in that season last season. He texted Kershaw and said, you know, do what you got to do. When you come back, we will be a better team. And he was right. He was absolutely right.
He was right. To finish up, from down south looking north, what do you see when you look at the Giants, you know, without Bumgarner, as I mentioned, just the overall ball club had just a really tough start. So what do you think of them now and maybe going forward?
Yeah, honestly, it looks like a mess right now. It really does. I mean, there's so many injuries, so many pieces of their plan that are just not there. I think Christian Arroyo's arrival is a big plus, but everything else you see is just minuses and subtractions. And, you know, maybe it's just the depth is just not there in the same way as it is with the Dodgers. Blame it on the payroll or whatever you want to blame it on, but they have not been able to absorb all the hits that they're taking.
All right, Bill. Hey, thanks a lot for the time. Really appreciate it. Enjoy your time in San Francisco.
Thank you, sir. Anytime.
That's Bill Plunkett from the Orange County Register. Join us again on Wednesday. We'll hear from Giants relief pitcher Corey Guerin. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.